Hey there, Hoops fans. How you doing? It's your boy, Jonathan Macri, with you for a fresh episode of NBA Takedown, where we just had some breaking news, guys, that talk about coming out of left field. That came from outside the ballpark. Maybe we'll get an impersonation out of it. I don't know. I'm going to introduce Sean first. I'm going to let him just take a minute to decide if he wants to start this Monday off like that. Sean, how you doing, buddy?
I'm fine. That news is not news to me. It's the worst kept secret in the NBA this year. In this empty cup is all the fucks I have to give about that news.
Sean, of course, is referring to the news that the Milwaukee Bucks, in a shocker, I almost fell off my chair, are taking calls on a guy who has wanted to be anywhere the fuck else but Milwaukee for the better part of a year, actually more than a year. Again, just absolute stunner. So next I'll introduce Jeff Johnson. Hello, Jeff. How are you?
I'm chilling, man. I'm absolutely stunned by the news that the Milwaukee Bucks are open for business and will take trade offers, any offer on Mr. Giannis.
I actually do. There is a small part of me that wonders, and we could get into the draft lottery. We could start there and we'll go and then talk about teams, actual basketball teams that are still playing basketball, or not, as in the case of the Sixers. I do wonder if the fact that the Bucks did not jump up into the top four of the lottery, was that the final straw? Which you could tell me it was.
No, I mean, yes, there would have been a... But even then, it's like, all right, let's say they jump to fourth. Then it's like, okay, we're going to trade this guy. We're going to trade this pick for
the pick and Kuzma and Miles Turner for, I mean, who the fuck would they even get?
Like, make a difference at this point? Who's the player that's like, it's like when, I'm sure we'll get to them later, the Sixers fans, when their copium saying this trails off to the deadline, it's like, all right, shouldn't have traded Jeremy Cain, but I doubt you win the series with him. But like, who are you getting that would allow you to beat this team? Who was that was realistically legitimately available?
There are haves and there are have-nots in the NBA. And I think what this playoffs has revealed is that there is perhaps a clearer line of delineation between the haves and the have-nots than many suspected. And if you are not close, yeah, and there are some teams that maybe talk themselves into the fact that they were close at points in time this year, that I think it is becoming clearer that they are maybe a little farther away than they realized. So yeah, just a wee bit.
A little.
Jeff, do you have any fucks about what's going on with the Bucks? Or
well, John, I will just tell you this. The only business I am is the business of winning championships. So however it happens, that is where I would be.
I mean, absolutely. Who could argue with that? I do want to talk about the lottery briefly. Ooh. Before we get to the basketball. So I was actually surprised last night during the post-game show, which is obviously a very celebratory post-game, second consecutive Eastern Conference Finals. Pretty cool to be able to say that. That there was like a handful of super chats who were like, what a great Sunday of basketball, not only because of the Knicks, but also lottery gods smiled upon us. And some laughing at the Nets, because why not? Might as well laugh at the Nets. But also because the Pacers fell to the fifth pick and thus do not own their draft pick. And I made this an analogy earlier today when I did the playoff hangover with Jeremy, but I'm going to add a little bit to the analogy. I basically analogized it to a dad going into a casino and betting their kid's life savings or college tuition, account on black. And that's what the Pacers did here and came up red. I actually want to go a step further because it was like them doing that, but like, yeah, you know what? My kid's like a C+ student anyway. So like, what's the big deal? And that part of the analogy, I feel like I need to add in because, and shout out to the Hoop Collective, who has not had a banner a couple of weeks, but they did make this point earlier today. The Pacers are cheap and the Pacers owners do not spend money and they do not go into the luxury tax. So that is the other part of the reason why they traded this asset that turned out to be a pretty damn good asset for Ivica Zubac. But they were like, okay, even if we end up giving the pick, we still get this guy on the cheap. So it's really no harm, no foul. I wonder if anybody is who's having a worse day today. I'll ask both of you guys, Pacers fans or Sixers fans?
Yes.
Neither.
Okay. Two very different answers.
Have you been on Twitter much the last 24 hours? Because one fan base held a 7-8 hour space on how the NBA is rigged and how capitalism is tearing things down because they did not move up to the top three.
Hold on.
Yes, you can guess. You can guess.
Hold on. A team of a fan base of a team that was in the lottery running, right?
Yes.
Saying that the NBA is rigged.
NBA is rigged. This is BS. It's because of this and that and billionaires and corruption. I'll give each of you a guess, and I'll give you a hint.
All right. Don't give me.
I know who it is.
Oh, you know the answer?
I didn't see the space, but I know who it is. Because it's always them.
Now I'm going to feel like an asshole because I'm not going to get it. Is it the Nets?
Ding, ding, ding.
They are. All 87 of them.
That was going to be the hint. I was like,
how many people were in the space?
The hint was going to be there were 87 people in the space. They are, and you have to remember, this is the same fan base 10 days ago. Was skipping up and down the timeline about Mikal Bridges and how well he wasn't doing and ha 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 and the lottery's coming and da 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 da. And they are in because I was just in a Twitter space, shout out to Hoop Spaces, and I realized that Sean Marks is their version of Steve Mills.
But they defend him.
No, it's split down the middle.
Now we're getting split consensus.
The tide is turning.
There's been ever since the whole big three everyone up. There's been a loud contention.
Which one?
Like Sean Marks. Well, Sean Marks only oversold one.
V2. V2.
Yeah. That
Electric Boogaloo.
That's a good nickname for them.
I'm running with that. But there's been a very very. I would say it's probably been split 60-40. There's like 40% of people that are like, Sean Marks is a clown and needs to go. And to the fact that when there are people, and shout out to my man Cash, because there are people trying to blame the NBA, whatever, and he's like, you blaming the NBA and it's being rigged, these conspiracy theories, takes the responsibility off of the management of the team, which is the owner, Joe Tsai, and the general manager, who was pointed out to me, I forgot, Joe Tsai didn't hire Sean Marks. He inherited him.
Who hired Sean Marks? Who was
Prokhorov.
Oh, that's right. It was Prokhorov.
He inherited him. And usually when you inherit, usually when you get a team, you bring in your own people. But you know why I say he's their version of Steve Mills? Because you know what those two are very, very good at? Keeping their jobs.
Steve Mills was the Michael Jordan of keeping his job.
Dude,
doesn't he still work for the Garden in some capacity?
I think he's on like a board somewhere or whatever. All I'll say is this. I don't think Leon Rose would have took the job if he knew that Steve Mills could be any way, shape, or form have any influence in anything basketball related.
I'm sorry, I just was thinking of Steve Mills in a basement somewhere talking about his red stapler.
I knew you were going
there. Jeff, do Kings fans have an argument to be more aggrieved / conspiracy theorist right now than Nets fans?
Unless they want to argue whether Eddard Stark was lured to King's Landing by nefarious means as opposed to his own arrogance, then maybe. But other than that, yo, bro, I don't know what to tell y'all. Y'all haven't been bad enough.
Well, here's the thing. We got more mileage out of making fun of the Kings on this show this year than probably any other team. And they were god awful right up until the very, like, it was like they could see the finish line. There was a clip going around last week of like somebody like starting to celebrate after a long race, and then they let up, and then the guy sprints towards the end and wins the race. That was the Kings, except in the opposite, because they won however many games they won in the last like several weeks of the season.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it is what it is. Trust me. Ask a Knicks fan about Tim Hardaway Jr. in the last few games, who had to go legend in a game that didn't matter, which ironically cost the Knicks Carl Anthony Towns.
I brought that game up earlier today when he turned to Anthony Edwards.
Jeremy brought that up earlier today because he talked. Someone asked us, Kevin Danishevsky asked us our darkest moments as Knicks fans. And the first, believe it or not, like I think the first thing out of Jeremy's mouth was that the Tim Hardaway Jr. game.
Thank God that is no longer our life.
Yes. I'm just looking at last year's draft. Pick after Jaeger Demon, Colin Murray Boyles, who's going to be a really good player for a very long time. And then two picks later, Cedric Coward. Man, Nets are. Maybe there was a conspiracy against the Nets, and the conspiracy is.
I like Denim though, but he's
fine.
Conor Murray Boyles. He's
fine.
I don't think he's like 21st pick plus fine. I don't think he's where they picked him fine. But who knows? Do they have like 85 picks again to go pick journeyman?
No, I don't think they do, and they don't have any first round pick next year.
And this year isn't a Bridges pick, right? This is
nope.
This is when they. No. The Bridges pick is next year.
Yes.
Like, and then 29 and then 31.
With the new rules. Wait, actually. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's
the
it.
Knicks. Yeah, it's yeah. After this year, the next
so
5 years.
So this is the Knicks. So they're at least. Yo. They have to deal with the new lottery system.
Yes.
For the entire duration that they have the Bridges picks.
Jeff. The reason why I'm still not 100% convinced this thing is going to pass is because you have all these teams out there. Well, maybe not all these teams. You have, several teams out there who have these pick packages from other teams that were supposed to be gold mines, and they will turn from gold mines to copper mines overnight because of the new rules.
Well, that's what happens when you treat first-round picks like conflict diamonds.
I think it will pass because front offices won't be voting, owners will be voting, and owners don't really care. Like, owners don't really care about the lottery. They just, like, I said earlier, they want to be able to sell hope to their fans.
Yes.
So, what happens is, even with the new lottery odds, it just gave more, like, usually when you go, like, you know, in 2017, if you were, like, 11th, you're like, I'm going to be 11th. Now you're like, hey, I could be Dallas.
That's true, yeah. Or Chicago yesterday, who moved up to 4. We'll see what good that does them. All right, let's talk. You want to do Philly now?
Yes.
Jeff, how are you feeling about who do you think's down worse, the Philadelphia 76ers organization in terms of what they have on their plate coming forward or the Sixers fan base?
Oh, it's definitely the organization because the Sixers fan base been punted on them. They punted in 2024. True story. I was in a cab going to game 4 and talking to the cab driver was Sixers fans. And he was like, yo, I don't care that they're only down 2-1. They got to show me something. They do this every year. Why you think all of y'all be in the games? We're going to sell our tickets because we don't want to see them flop again. I was talking to me and Sean's friend, Scoob. We had a whole conversation post where he called me up and I said, did I say something online that was crazy about your squad? He was like, yo, bro, fly Eagles fly. We're on to training camp. Because what the hell? Because they've seen the Sixers fans see the writing on the wall. You get like a moral victory out of beating a Celtics team that's been beating you the whole, like your whole existence. Mm-hmm. And you finally got a win over them. So that was like a victory in that regard. But they saw what was happening with the Knicks with this series. And even before the series, they bought into the hopium. And honestly, the nasty, blatant, rage bait fueled Knicks for Clicks Industrial Complex World Tour that went on where people were saying everything from Brunson is the fourth best player in the series to the Sixers have the best chance to win the Eastern Conference to the Knicks are good, but the Sixers are just better because they have individual talent. And I don't see a path where the Knicks can overcome them because the Sixers are just so far and away better than. Sixers fans got lured into believing that. And now they feel upset because they didn't trust their own instincts. And this is just from Sixers fans in general, right? Like, yo, real talk. If you are a Sixers fan and you had tickets to either game 3 or game 4, and you did not sell those tickets because Joel Embiid compelled you to keep them in a show of solidarity with the team and the fan base, you may be entitled to compensation. There should be a class action suit against Joel Embiid and the Philadelphia 76ers from gassing y'all into not making a buck. Because after game 3, boy, I would have paid a bill. I would have paid a bill. So I don't think Sixers fans are just fed up. If you've seen the clips going around from their local news from ABC 6.
Oh, that was
where the sister had to look around like y'all Knicks fans better not bump me.
That, I'm I felt bad for her. It was like
you can tell she's probably a Sixers fan too.
Oh yeah.
Whether adopted or from the city. And she's like, yo, she's disgusted, right? But then when you look at the organization, what did I tell you after game 3, John? What the hell are the Sixers supposed to do to get back in this series? What the hell
in the series,
are the Sixers
nothing.
Supposed to do no. with their balance sheet? What are they get supposed in, to do?
They're, so we did a worst contracts. I did my worst contracts ranking earlier in the year. And where did we have Embiid? Do we have him in the
should
top
be three? One or two.
I made an error. I put Jimmy Butler at one because I was like, he's not going to play basketball for the rest of his contract, so therefore he's the worst contract. That was a bad job by me. Embiid's contract is worse because the extension kicks in next year. There's 3 more years on it. I'm looking right now at the NBA player salaries. I don't know that there's a single player in the league that their team would at this point. And it's again, not because Joel Embiid can't be good. Look at him yesterday. What did he go 8 for 8 or 8 for 9 or whatever the hell he was? You know,
he went out
up numbers,
shield.
Right? but like when you also at the same time look at how this team quit, and they quit yesterday. We could call it space, they quit. Like that's part of your culture. Who sets their culture? The guy who's been there the longest, which is Joel Embiid. What team is taking that on? What team is taking on that money, that injury risk, that just the whole package? I don't see the team. I don't see who else wants to offload money so badly that they Nobody. That what?
Nobody.
Nobody, right? Unless I'm missing someone, and I don't think you know what? We always go back to our favorite punching bag. Who's the team that
Not even them.
The Kings, Zach LaVine's however many weeks away from opting into his $49 million player option. That's how many million dollars less than Joel Embiid is set to make next year. Jesus Christ. That's $9 million less than Joel Embiid is set to make. If the Sixers were like, we'll take LaVine and pick some additional money, pick an expiring salary. The Kings they hang up the phone. They don't have a meeting.
Okay, they have a meeting because Vivek is like, "Hey," and then Scott Perry, you would hope, would say, "Dog, no." But then again, Vivek hasn't listened to anybody, Stauskas. So I can't fathom. I could not
Sauce
even fathom
Castillo.
Sauce Castillo. I think my wife got me as a present a hot sauce. He put out a hot sauce.
Good job for him. Finding different revenue streams.
My wife bought it. So I guess the real joke's on us. Joel Embiid is set to make $67 million in 2028-29 season. And what was it? He hasn't played in 7 consecutive games all year? He never did?
That's insane.
I don't know what they do. I don't think there's any place to trade him. I don't think anybody would trade for him. If the Kings aren't trading for you, then no one's trading for you. So, Jeff, you know what? You're right. The organization is in the worst place.
Well,
they have Maxey and Edgecombe, but they're awesome, and they're like might be the best backcourt in the NBA in a few years. But until they get out from under this Embiid thing, where are they going?
So when you say the organization, there's two ways to look at it. One is the organization as in how the team is constructed. Like, can this team compete going forward at a high level? To which the answer is no, because as long as they have these albatrosses on the roster, yes. Now, the organization, as in the people who run the organization, clearly this was supposed to be a gap year, not a gap year, but a year they weren't going to contend because they traded Jared McCain. They didn't do anything at the deadline. The Paul George suspension, Hail Hydra, allowed them, which greased the wheels for the McCain trade because it got them under the luxury tax. So yes. Josh Harris, and by extension, Daryl Morey, were like, man. Whereas here's the thing. The Sixers fans went into the season expecting fuck all. They had no expectations for anything.
They had a 35, 36 win over under, something like that.
Then they have VJ and they have Maxi, and they're like, this team is fun. But they still had their guard down. They're like, this team is fun to watch. Yeah. We don't expect anything. Joel comes back. He looks good, whatever. And they're like, I'm not going to fall for the banana and tailpipe, whatever. And then they come back from 3-1 against Boston. Because I think even going into that series, they're like, we're going to get roasted. Like, the highlight of their season would have been winning that playing game. And like, we're going to get roasted by Boston. It's whatever. And they win game two, and then they go down 3-1, and then they fight back. In fact, here's what I'll ask you.
Yeah.
If you're a Sixer fan,
I know.
Would you rather have lost game seven?
This is an impossible question. This isn't a fair question.
With the knowledge that you have now.
Yeah, knowing what you know what?
No, because of the history. If the Knicks are going to clap us, fine. They've done it before. But if we could say, if I wasn't expecting anything, but you say we could beat the Celtics in a game seven in Boston, few teams have done that. Yeah, I'll take it.
I think it depends on what happens the rest of this Knicks playoff run. And I think it actually happened. It depends on what happens in Boston this summer. Because I could even see a world where, like, depending on what the Celtics do, the Sixers could be like, we ended the Boston run or something. But now that's a two-way street, because what if this emboldens the Celtics to try to go to for them to be the team that gets Giannis, which I know Simmons did a whole thing on his pod about. Then I don't know.
Them guys is cooked, man. They could get Giannis. They could get
whoever, Boston? Bro.
Yeah, they're cooked.
You think Boston's done?
Yes. I'll go a step further. The New York Knicks will not have to worry about the Boston Celtics in real life for the next couple of years. Maybe the media might make it so. They're not on the level of the Bakas. They are not on the level of
right
the
now.
Knicker
they're not
Bakers.
On the level. You're exactly,
and they
right.
won't be.
I won't necessarily go that far, even though I'd love to.
Fuck them.
But hey,
did Mensa body swap with
No, come on, man. Enough is enough, bro. Stop the jinx shit. Stop the fake humility. What are they gonna do? Tell me what they do in the offseason that makes your hesitation become prudence.
Trade Jaylen Brown.
Trade Jaylen Brown for
yes, that's
for who
it.
or period.
I would look. I'm higher on Giannis being still a significantly relevant star in the league than probably you guys are. I think if they figured out a way to get Giannis for Jaylen Brown, I think that would take notice of that.
I'll say two things. One, in this new CBA, the path forward may be, if you have the one max guy, there has to be a bunch of role players. So you trade Jaylen Brown, you get like two role players on solid deals.
Who?
That's easier. I respect where you're coming from. That's easier said than done, man.
Well, everything's easier said than done.
Yeah, because but
again, there's no super unless it's Giannis. And again, Giannis is 32 years old and has not made
lower leg injuries.
Yeah, has not made out the second round since God knows since 2021. Like, the reason why I asked the question, would you rather have lost Game 7 knowing what you know now is because winning that Game 7 and then facing the team that the national media has told you all year ain't that good raised their expectations to a level where these clowns were watching Embiid and Maxey and Edgecombe and Paul George laughing during a generational belt to ass in Game 1. They thought, oh, these guys aren't even taking this seriously. We'll be back. They thought that was a sign.
They got this.
They bought all the way in, and the Sixers and Lucy took the football away again.
Shout out to Philly. Just great. As Josh Hart said, just great sports city. My favorite quote from after the game last night.
And what's going to be even better is the Eagles about to see the same thing this season. I cannot wait. And I'm going to rub it in Cat and JB's face. Ooh, I cannot wait.
I'm going to tell you something right now. Eagles Giants at MetLife this year is going to be a bloodbath, not on the field, but in the stands.
They're
coming for blood because they want to replicate it. Listen, I've seen big ass EAGLES Eagles chants in MetLife because whatever the team was bad, whatever. But like, it's going to get nasty. And me, a fan of the team in the other conference in another division, just could sit here and watch it with my popcorn and just observe.
I bet you will. Let's talk about some teams that are still playing basketball.
Before we move on.
Oh, yeah, sure. What else?
I want to say one thing.
Oh, because we haven't said enough about the Sixers, please.
Oh, we haven't said enough. And I thought of this. Let me do this right here.
Okay.
This is a picture I took on November 20th, 2019. I was at the former Wells Fargo Garden.
Yep.
And I don't know if you can tell, but the score is Knicks 75, Sixers 60 with 4 minutes and 40 seconds left in the third quarter. Now, again, this is November of 2019. We know how not good that team was.
Yeah.
And there were a smattering of Knicks fans in there, but we're like whooping it up because this is the same Sixers team that lost in the second round to Kawhi and the shot. Like, so this is a championship contender, Jimmy.
That's right. Yeah.
So, in fact, I'm pretty sure. So, the third quarter, we're up, like, we're up 76-60.
I'm pulling up this game as you're talking.
Okay. And I have it up here too because I'm pretty sure, because I want to say it was Frank Ntilikina, but Frank Ntilikina takes a three and it misses. Oh, no, it was Marcus Morris. Marcus Morris takes a three. And as that three is going up, I said, if this three goes in, this game is over. And he missed, right? He missed. I was like, all right, we're still up. And then Tobias Harris turned into Kawhi Leonard in the fourth quarter. And I have the stat. And I have the stats here. I have the stats here.
I mean, I'm looking at the box score right now. This
Tobias,
is
not third quarter. In the second half.
So Tobias didn't have a great game.
Maybe I'm conflating the game. Whatever. But there was maybe I'm conflating the game. But I was at this game.
Mike Scott had a big game. Is that who you're thinking
of? That might have been it.
Or James Enos the third.
It might have been it. So the point is,
my God, this is a
the Sixers
score.
Come back and they win the game. Like they come back and they win. And with a minute left, the game is sold to the way. The entire Wells Fargo Center crowd begins chanting in unison, New York sucks, New York sucks, New York sucks. And I sat there with my wife and three-year-old Zach of an H listening to this chant, and I couldn't do anything about it. And I said to myself, I will have my revenge, whether in this life or the next.
Well,
I thought 2024 was my revenge, but God had a different plan for me. God had a different plan for me because the energy in the in now Xfinity Square Garden yesterday was the total opposite of that night in 2019. And as they say in church, won't he do it?
That's a great story, Sean. I really enjoyed that. Thank you. Do you realize you witnessed the third tied for the third highest scoring game of Frank Ntilikina's career in person?
Yes. He was cooking that day.
Cooking with gas.
And also, I'm pretty sure that game was the game where, oh yeah, Ben Simmons took a three and hit it. And that was his first three of the season.
He attempted one three and he hit the one three that he attempted. Man, what a, well, Sixers fans, I don't know what to tell you. Maybe find a new team or a new sport. Okay.
It'll be hockey.
E-A-G-L-E-S. I tell you, man, they all say like, oh, psst, basketball. Yeah. Y'all watch basketball? I'm watching training camp. What you talking about? I'm watching the combine.
They can't even turn to the Phillies because they suck too.
I know. And there was a game. The Phillies were playing the same day. At the same time.
And I only know this because of the tweet that was going around. The hockey team also got swept. So it's really good.
They got swept out of two playoffs in the same weekend. That's a nasty weekend of sports in Philly. That's a nasty sports weekend, bro.
Philly's won.
Y'all are banned for talking any type of banter.
No,
of 2026.
You know that's not going to stop them.
Of course not. I'm just saying, like. You're on mute. Not you. The fans.
Speaking of people who maybe are going to be banned. Victor Wembanyama. I was very curious to get your guys' takes on this. How were you watching the game live at the time?
I was not.
I think I had finished doing some post game stuff and hanging with the wife, and I all of a sudden open the hell site and I see Wembanyama trending also with flagrant two. And my first thought was, who the hell knocked this man out to get to receive a flagrant two? Then I clicked on it and I saw an elbow that would make prime Andy Bogard from Fatal Fury blush. And I said, holy shit, that made me turn. Yo, you want to talk about tune in copy, that made me tune right into the game to rewind it to see the full context. And I was like, wow, man, that was an elbow, bro. And the minute I saw it, I was like, oh yeah, he gotta go. Like there's no, well, you know, it's a play. Okay. Nah, bro, that is in certain contexts worse than a punch.
I think you could argue elbow, that
an elbow to the jaw. It can be worse than a punch, depending on how it connects and all of that. Like,
so shout out to William Mitchell in the chat pointing out something that was reported 45 minutes ago and I completely missed. It's already been reported from Shams. There's not going to be any further suspension. So it's, you just got to, we're not surprised by that, but like, I would have been wondering until it was announced.
Why? Yeah, Ben, I know it was like the throat, but it was like, Even an elbow to the throat is at context worse than a punch.
A punch is more is just as likely to hurt you as it is them. Whereas an elbow is that they're gonna eat all that. Yeah,
it's pointed.
Yeah,
it's sharp.
It's you dirty. It's dirty work.
Yeah.
So here's my question: this series is not 2-2. It took something of a Herculean effort for the Wolves to win the game last night, just like it took a lot for them to win game one. They got curb stomped in game two, and game three, honestly, was not all that close. So my question for each of you, is this a series?
Yes.
Yes? Yeah. Okay.
What makes you feel that hang around? You let this team hang around. You could have started throwing dirt on their grave last night, and you didn't. In fact, so I like I said, I didn't see the play live, but I saw the alert that Wemby has been suspended for a ejected for a flagrant two foul. I was like, oh, that's crazy. Then I saw the play like a half hour later. Me and my son were on an iPad watching. I was like, oh, that's like, it was worse than I thought it would be. So then I turned it, but I turned the, then I turned the game on, and I see that the Wolves are down six. And then as I turned it on, Mike Tirico had said, like, the Wolves have been, the Spurs have been a plus six since the Wemby suspension ejection, because Luke Kornet got out. And I'm like, they cannot lose this game. And to your point, John, it was just a slog for them, because they went in the fourth quarter. I think it was 84-80 Spurs. And I said, the Wolves came back.
Yeah.
But then the Wolves came back to win. But it was just, I was just watching it, and it was like, it's just a slog for them. So, but they should have, the point I'm making is that they were up in the third quarter without their best player. If they win that game, Minnesota is probably like, all right, this is over. They pack it in, whatever. Now you have given the legend killer, Anthony Edwards, another chance to like dig deep down and say, like, all right, hey, look. Because look, even to your point about game three, that game was 11-1 and 18-3 in the first quarter. And they finished that quarter down 29-27. The Wolves did. So
it was impressive. Yeah.
They're not like, listen, I think I'm not planting a flag here, but the winner of game five is going to win this series. And in fact, the winner of game five will win game six.
So I'm the one who put money on the Wolves before the series started to make the finals, which I know probably sounds insane. But
I did the same. I'm with you, bro. I did the same thing.
I liked the value, as they say.
It was hella value. It was like 100. It was like 100-1.
It was very good value. You could have got better value actually after game three. There are a bunch of Spurs who are playing very well. Dylan Harper is like that dude. Clearly, Stephon Castle. I mean, he's awesome. Wemby is Wemby. The one guy who hasn't shown up is De'Aaron Fox. I didn't mention Devin Vassell. Devin Vassell's played very well. Like, they have a bunch of guys playing well. The thing that the Spurs are not doing, and this is not exactly a shock when you look at like their personnel, they are not hitting threes. So I just want to give you a couple numbers really quick. Wemby for this series is shooting 24% from deep. De'Aaron Fox is shooting 22% from deep. Dylan Harper, now granted he hasn't taken lines, only taken 10 threes through four games, but 30% from deep, 3 of 10. Devin Vassell, who is their best shooter in their starting lineup, certainly, well, they're him or Champagne, he's below 35% from deep. Keldon Johnson, 29%. Who could have seen that coming? So like none of these guys are hitting threes, and like every other facet of the game defensively, they're doing great. Like when they get the ball inside, like, you know, some of the Harper, especially, is just like, he's incredible. But it's like I feel like because the three ball is not falling for them, it is the great equalizer. And to your point about if, you know, it's whoever wins game five might win the series. If there's a guy who I don't want to fuck with on the road in game five, and I'm obviously not the first person to say this, it's Jeff's boy, the Ant-Man. Like, could you not see Anthony Edwards going off for 45 points on the road, 7-12 from deep? 100%. It feels like that's in the cards.
And he's looking better every
He's looking
game.
Better. He's looking better.
Now, you know, he's going to need some help. And our old friend, the immortal Julius Randle, he gonna have to tap back into January 2024.
Do you want to guess the field goal percentage for our friend?
I do not.
You don't?
I don't. 41%.
It's being very generous. Sean, you want to take another stab at it?
In this series or the playoffs?
In this series.
37%.
Did you see his hands? It's 37 on the dot to the decimal. 37.0%.
Wow. I was going to say 39, and I was like, so I should be like 37 or some shit.
Quick aside, you may have heard me talk about it. My daughter had her first field hockey tournament over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Another shout out to my wife for driving 10 hours for like 2 hours of competitive sport. They gave her a jersey, random number assigned, and it was number 30. And I was like, this could be a good sign. Could not be a good sign. I don't know.
Are you going to put a paper plate over her face if she has a bad game?
Come here, hun. I just don't mind daddy holding the stapler. In this.
Why does my face say Dixie, Dad?
That's a deep cut for those who do
yeah.
not.
Yeah. You better perform or else.
Right.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, man. So I'm taking it. His 3-point shot ain't falling.
He from three in the series, he hasn't taken a ton. He's 4 of 15.
Damn. So he's like reverted a bit.
He's not really getting to the line. He's 17 free throw attempts through 4 games. You know, it's been tough. But look, he had the one big game. It was game one or game three. He had one nice game for them in the series, and the rest has been a little bit.
They need him. He show up, and it's officially like spooky time for San Antonio.
But that's a big if. Yeah, game. Sorry, it was game one that was his good performance.
Unfortunately,
yeah.
And the problem with Julius has always been, even though he's 6'9", he's not the most athletic, so length has always given him issues. And is Victor Wembanyama here? It has to be. See, I always thought that the path for the Timberwolves to win this series was to be super physical, but now that you have Wemby getting ejected because he elbowed,
hold on, why
Nas
is that different?
Reed, well, why is what different?
Why should that change? Why is the path no longer for them to be super physical?
So because Nas Reed, basically, I'm not gonna say that he deserved it, but Nas Reed was being
according like, to the fucking play. Spurs coach, he deserved it.
Yeah, and there were
that was
plays
a
where
wild soundbite, by the way.
But so shout out to my man Chris Barnett, who was pointing out that like there's a play where like you're going for a rebound and Nas hit him in the nuts, and like Nas was like he was habitually line stepping with the physicality. So now I believe that for Game 5. Well, one, usually when you catch an elbow to the jaw, you're not going to be as physical. And two, I think they might just call it tighter because it's the classic, like, all right, the refs let things go too far, then someone goes too far, now we're going to let it be tighter. So I don't know how physical they're going to allow them to be. And, like, that's the ace in hole for Julius. Like, well, I can be physical. I'm going to put my shoulder in your chest. So if that is not – if they turn that down – It could get spooky for Minnesota unless Ant-Man has the legendary Ant-Man performance on 1 3/4 legs.
If you believe in NBA conspiracy theories, there's going to be a tight whistle tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Hmm.
You'll know in the first 3 minutes. You'll know.
Yeah. You'll know. Jeff, you believe in conspiracy theories or no?
Yeah. Depends on what it is. I dabble a bit, but I do think after something like a physical altercation that results in a suspension, the next game is usually the we ain't allowing that bullshit tonight, fellas. That's when it gets to every ticky-tack call is called a foul, and then the crowd starts booing. You remember when they used to chant "Let them play"?
Yes.
When the refs started getting too involved and started calling fouls, and the crowd is like, "Yo, bro, we didn't come here to see y'all." We may get that in the first couple of minutes. And then to Sean's point, I believe it would be at Minnesota's disadvantage if they
would
legislate out their level of physicality. Imagine what happened with
don't.
All right, we have 5 minutes left because me and Sean both have to go. Very quickly on the Cavs, I don't know if I said this at the time. I'll say it now. I did not watch the first two Cavs games against the Raptors because I think it was like timing, whatever. And I was like, they're going to win this series in 5 games. And I've watched most of every Cavs game in the playoffs since then. I don't know when's the last time I've been less impressed by a team that is they're in the middle of the second round. Like they haven't lost a home game yet. Right. So like they could win tonight very easily, beat Detroit. Can the Cavs show fuck anything? Anything.
May I remind you that they're depending on James Harden, who was until
dude,
three
he rested,
shots late in the fourth
season. He saved their season in the fourth quarter.
Yes, with 3 shots after being complete in a cocoon for the first 45 minutes. Like
that's correct.
Cleveland, they just, man.
They don't rock. Cleveland does not rock.
They rocked for, like, and listen, we want Cleveland to win. We want a Cleveland win tonight for totally selfish reasons. Like,
absolutely.
Like, let this series go six. I don't even need to go seven. Go six. Because if you go six, then you get the Tuesday start instead of the Sunday start for the conference finals. But they just don't.
Is that true? Oh, I didn't realize that.
Okay. Yeah, because they're not gonna do the 48-hour turnaround. They won't do the 48-hour turnaround.
You sure?
Yeah, I don't think they do. I don't think they do a 48-hour turnaround after a game seven for a game.
No, it wouldn't be a 48. It would be after a game six. If game six of this series, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe it would be on Friday night.
Yes.
Okay. So
then the conference finals, they'll make the conference finals start Tuesday.
Okay. I didn't know that was definitely a thing. Maybe it is. Okay.
So I see all that to say, and to bring everything into, because the Knicks are involved in everything.
Yeah.
The Cavs made a Donovan Mitchell trade as a bet on Evan Mobley. And I think they may have lost the bet.
He is not. What Scotty Barnes say to Quentin Grimes? You're not that dude.
He is not him. You are not him.
You are not him. That's right. You are not him.
He's not. Yeah. They made that trade as a gamble that Evan. I was about to call him Evan Garnett. And that Evan Mobley would become as awesome on the offensive side of the ball as he is on the defensive side of the ball, and he's not that. And so far, and then they said, I know what we'll do. We'll trade for James Harden. That will fix everything. And yes, I get it. Garland was hurt all the time, but they are facing a reckoning because they are so far over the second apron next year. Like, this is probably it for the Cleveland Cavaliers as currently constructed.
That's what I've been saying since we've been doing the takedown.
You said
it. If any team is on the clock, it's the Cleveland Cavaliers. Like, I actually think they're on the clock whether they win or lose. Like, they would have to win the chip to keep this team as is for another year. But after what you see, even from what you've seen so far, like, how do you keep that team together? Evan Mobley and Jalen Duren are having a trick-off with the way they've both been playing. And it's like, yo, bro, why is Jared Allen playing tougher than you?
If you are getting out toughed by Jared Allen, you need to reassess your.
No,
your
we'll see though. Choices. But yeah, go Cavs.
Go Cavs. Not too proud to say that as a Knicks fan. Like, go Cavs, please win this.
I wonder how the Cavs fans feel.
I talk about a team that might be out or a fan base that might be out on this team before long. All right, we got to get out of here, Jeff. Anything before we go?
Rest up, OG. Have a sensu bean milkshake and start studying the dossiers because, you know. Oh, and by the way, the Knicks are the most dominant team in NBA playoff history to this point by the numbers. Yep. And they're the most dominant Knicks team I've ever seen. And I still don't know who they are, but these guys can't go nowhere ever again.
They are the team that we have been waiting 2 years for them to become. And dare I say it was worth the wait. Sean, last word. We're going to get out of here.
This team is different. Like, push your PT. If there's any of a Knicks team that you need to push your PTSD aside for, it's this one.
If I can push my PTSD aside, which I have, which maybe famous did, last words.
Did you?
I did. I genuinely did. I'm all in on this team. I just think they're playing serious. They're completely serious.
Job is
not finished. It's not. I'm not saying it is, but and none of us are saying it is, to be very clear. None of us are saying it is. They are. If you don't trust them at this point, I don't know what left they could do.
Like I said yesterday, there are some people in our fan base that would have loved to. That would have loved to have been at the lottery. Because you know, hope is. Some people love the mystery box.
Well said. Everybody, thank you for checking out another NBA episode of NBA Takedown. Got over 1,000 people watching. They love this stuff. Don't forget, if you have not followed the show or subscribed, I guess, on the Nick or on NBA Takedown YouTube page, please do that. And while you're at it, give this video a like, because that is what helps us get noticed, and you know, will make it easier for us to keep doing what we do. In the meantime, everybody, enjoy your week. Enjoy the playoff games that are left, although I think they may be getting few and far between fairly soon until we get to the conference finals. And we'll be back with more fun and games before you know it. Peace out.